it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this post-convention episode of New Horizons. It was a fabulous convention over the weekend, and I saw many of you, and others who weren't able to make it. We hope you enjoyed the internet coverage and also the radio broadcasts. I'm Vaughan Bennison. I present this program each week on behalf of Blind Citizens Australia. Blind Citizens Australia is the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians. It's the peak body for the blind and vision impaired community. This week, we talk sport. We don't very often do that on this program, and certainly it's not something I've ever really done before. We're speaking to Tim Neild from AFL Victoria. Tim is the disability football manager with AFL Victoria. Tim, disability football manager?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty new position at AFL Vic, so it's only been within the organisation for the past 18 months. So, I guess it started off. We AFL Victoria took over what's called the Victorian Feeder Football League, which is a league for people with an intellectual disability to play Australian rules football. And since I've sort of been in there, we're looking to broaden our horizons in terms of making sure that anyone with any disability can come through AFL Victoria's doors and play football. And we've recently launched AFL wheelchairs played on the basketball court. And there's an organisation called Deaf Football Victoria, which are doing great things for the deaf community. And I guess we'll speak a bit later on in the segment today about AFL Blind, which is a new adapted version we're looking to create for the blind vision impaired community. The Feeder Football League's been around for 27 years. Approximately now we've got over 650 players across the state. So we've got four divisions within the metropolitan Melbourne area. We've got a Northern Country Conference, which has the likes of Echuca, Shepherd and Wangaratta. Then we go all the way out to the Western Country Conference as well, which has the likes of Horsham and Hamilton and South Warrnambool. Yeah, all up there's 28 teams which play, but they sort of play in their separate divisions and areas. So and there's a pathway as well to represent your state as well. So just like able-bodied football, we have Vic Metro and Vic Country representative teams within the intellectual disability space, and they compete in the AFL National Inclusion Carnival, which similar to us, every other state has representative teams as well, and the cream of the crop come together and play a week-long carnival. I think obviously why the Feeder Football League exists is because of their disability, sometimes it's hard to integrate into community mainstream football, so. The players need a little bit more attention to detail and support, and for them to be able to have that opportunity to go through the entire pathway, someone who doesn't have a disability is fantastic.
And AFL wheelchair, we've all heard of wheelchair rugby, or I think murder ball as it's called. What's the difference?
Yep. It's a contact sport in the sense that you can crash and bash like wheelchair rugby. Like wheelchair rugby, Their sport chairs are built like tanks, pretty much. They're big, thick steel chairs. AFL wheelchair play use sports chairs like wheelchair basketball. It's playing on a basketball court. You have your designated forwards, mid, and defenders. And it's 5v5. And pretty much a hand pass is equivalent to a kick. So if you mark a hand pass, you've got time to go back off the mark and look for your options. An underarm throw is equivalent to a hand pass, in normal footy. So that's play on then. So, but you can't throw the ball over your head or, like gridiron or anything like that's illegal disposal. So, got the portable goals at the end of each court, at the end of either end of the court, and then it's the same scoring system. So, a hand pass through the goals is 6 points and a point if you spray it.
Now, how did you get involved in all this personally?
I completed my uni studies and worked for an organisation called Disability Sport and Recreation. Spent 7 years there, and through that time did a little bit of work supporting the AFL wheelchairs. So that's only been around for 2 years. Then I've only recently made the jump over to AFL Victoria as of January this year, and yeah, we're really starting to ramp it up. So I don't have a disability myself, but yeah, once I was in, I was hooked, and you know, just like running any other sporting program, you know, just making sure that's of high quality, and the guys can get out there and have some fun.
Speaking of getting out there and having fun, you're just embarking on a project for blind people with AFL. Tell us about that.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's really exciting. When I sort of walked through the doors, we had deaf covered. We had the physical disability with AFL wheelchair. We had the intellectual and developmental disability covered with FIDA. But there was nothing available for blind vision impaired community. So, yeah, had a bit of a chat with Blind Sport and Recreation Victoria to see if they would like to sort of provide some support. And long story short, Vic Health have provided us with some funding to develop a concept which we're calling AFL Blind. Yeah, it's all a concept at the moment, but you know, since we've sort of communicated that to the community about what we're looking to do, it's amazing. I didn't think we'd have a lot of pickup, but with very limited sort of push, I think we've got about 12 people who've expressed their interest. Like, oh, you know, I want to know more. How do we get involved? It'll be played indoors, so similar to how indoor footy's played. I guess reason being, it's a bit of a controlled environment. You've sort of got your mesh nets up around, so from a safety point of view, and also from a noise side of things as well, we can sort of limit the noise so the players can focus on the ball. And again, through the communication that we pushed out, we got contacted by a PE teacher in South Australia who works at a vision impaired school, and he goes, oh, this is fantastic, let me know more. So having a chat with him, his students, you know, love footy, but they didn't have the equipment to play, so he's gone and unstitched, you know, Sharon's and put beeping devices inside Sharon and lacing back up. And anyone who knows footballs, Sharon isn't meant to be unlaced and laced back up. So anyway, we've got a meeting with Sharon this week and he's coming across to see, you know, well, how can we take this to the next level and, you know, have a beeping device inside of football so it can be played, I guess. Unlike other, I guess, blind vision impaired sports, is a lot sort of have bells and whatnot in it.
Mm.
But with AFL, is that, you know, once the ball's airborne, the bell's almost cancelled out because it doesn't really ring. And again, similar to the ball's stationary on the floor, again, it's hard to find the ball. So I guess that's why we're sort of looking to go down the path of putting a beeping device inside a football. Yeah, we'll sort of explore, you know, high contrast colours as well. So, you know, black footballs, fluoro coloured footballs to help support the players see the football. And then, yeah, we'll pretty much the aim is once we've at least got the footy, which I think is the most important bit, we're then going to look to hold three different testing days. And after each testing day, we'll go back to the drawing board and go, right, what worked well, what didn't. And then go to the second testing day. And hopefully by the third, we'll have a robust idea and rules and regulations about how you can play a competitive game of football. And then once that's all locked away, we want to look to sort of run a bit of a round robin sort of league so yeah, players can have that competitive side to it if they wish.
What sort of time frame are you looking at for these testing days?
So we've earmarked mid-December for our first. We actually just sent out through all our sort of networks expressions of interest only this week. And so we want to sort of have a core group that'll sort of come through those three testing days. So yeah, mid-December the first one, March looking to be the second, and then June looking to be the third. And then, yeah, all going well, we would look to sort of then open up the floodgates for, you know, hopefully the word starts to spread and people want to get involved. And, you know, we can have like a 3-4 team sort of round robin competition running by, you know, August, September. So that's the plan, and hopefully we can stick to that. But yeah, you never know with projects like these.
Indeed. What sort of rules are you anticipating will need changing or adjusting to enable blind people to participate fully?
I've got a great support group. We've got to put together a steering committee, so people who work within the space, within blind support space as well. So together we're also trying to flesh this out, and we had our first committee meeting just the end of September and looked at pretty much the rules that, you know, traditional footy's played off, and we didn't get too deep into it, but I guess one, you know, was marking. So, you know, you have guys which will be fully blind and you'll have those that will be partially blind. So one of the things that we sort of spoke about was, like, all right, well, if you've got someone that's fully blind, B1 classification, that, you know, if at least if a ball's kicked towards someone who is B1, that all that the ball would need to do is sort of hit them on the full, and that would be classified as a mark. Whereas if you were sort of vision impaired, it would have to hit a portion of the arm. And that was something that we're looking at changing. I think it was as well around how the umpires interact with the players too. So, you know, obviously the need to be a lot more verbal in terms of when goals and points are scored, so the players can know what's going on, as opposed to just the signalling side of it. But yeah, I think we haven't really gotten into that too deeply yet, but I think there's going to be a lot of adjustments. The thing that we've got to be mindful of is not to lose the integrity of AFL. You know, obviously AFL is a brand and it's a sport, and we don't want to go making this whole new sport. So that's something that we really want to be mindful of.
Now, you're looking at having your first test in December. How many people are you looking for?
Yeah, we're looking to have probably max 14 players. We're thinking that it's going to be a 5v5 setup. And I guess we want 14 just in case, you know, people sort of drop off or don't get sick on the day or whatnot. So, yeah, we're thinking 14 if we could.
Does it need to be people who understand the rules of the game, or are you going to provide all of that training?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think that was one of the sort of challenges that we came up with is that, you know, I guess especially if there's we get players that have been, you know, born with fully blind or vision impaired who may have never picked up a football before, never learnt the skills before of how to play footy. So that was one of our things, is like, well, how do we sort of counter that? So we'll, for people, I guess, who are listening and want to get involved, we'll be running some basic skill sessions beforehand as well. But no need to, you know, be athletic or played football before. I guess if you're sort of keen to be involved and help shape something, you know, it's going to hopefully be around for many years to come, but this is sort of the starting point of it all.
And how can people get involved?
Yeah, so if you want, you can contact myself on 8341 6023 directly, or you can go onto AFL Victoria's website, which is aflvic.com.au. And yeah, if you search for the disability tab, we've got a little section there about what we're doing around AFL blind, and my email's there as well. So yeah, I'll get in, so numbers 8341 6023, or just aflvic.com.au.
And are you anticipating that eventually this will migrate out to the rest of Australia through the other AFL organisations?
Yeah, so how our funding with Vic Health came part was that they're funding, they're providing a portion of funds to AFL, the national body, and then they're relaying that down to AFL Vic. The reason why Vic Health wanted that is because they sort of see the potential that this could, and if it does, that AFL can play the role in connecting it with all the other states and territories. So, you know, pie in the sky, you know, I think it would be great if, you know, Vic leads the way and we have a product which can then be rolled out across the country, and then obviously all the infrastructure is done with, you know, the goalposts and the footballs and Sharon is selling it. So hopefully all the hard work is done. And then it's just a case of just, you know, recruiting players and rolling it out, really. So, yeah, that's our long-term vision for sure.
Well, congratulations on the project. It sounds like an awful lot of fun, and I wish you luck with getting all the people involved.
No, fantastic, Vaughan, and thanks for the opportunity to let all your listeners know what's going on.
Tim Neal there with AFL Victoria about a very interesting project. Blind Citizens Australia is always looking for donations from the community. If you'd like to donate money to BCA, you can do so. Have a look at the website. That'll give you all the information you need to find out how to do that. Otherwise, you can contact BCA on bca@bca.org.au or by calling 1-800-033-660. 1-800-033-660. I'm Vaughan Dennison, and I'll be back again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.